you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you for Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as school.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
You can't get anything in his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Am I getting the hang of this producing all by yourself thing, you think? Getting a little bit better? I mean, that was a whole break, and I don't think I screwed it up, did I? Yay me! Okie dokie, let's go to the phones, and we are joined right off the bat by our good friend calling from Florida, the Cossack. Hey, Coss, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Alive and semi-kicking.
Well, as long as there's a little bit of kicking involved.
You know, if we sheathed those vibrators in tungsten, then they could be sold as weapons, and Alabama would allow them.
You're absolutely right. I don't know. Maybe sex toy salespeople will have to resort to setting up gun shops where all the sex toys look like firearms.
Well, even better. I mean, you know, just so. 50 caliber rounds with the powder taken out.
I'll leave that. I think you'd probably get a double shudder from Agnes on that one. Maybe even an eek.
It would work, though.
What a bunch of foolishness, though.
Well, it's insane. But But it's, I mean, it's about as insane as the laws they had on the books up until the 60s that in Connecticut you couldn't sell prophylactics.
Yes, yes, indeed. That, and of course, that's, oh gosh, what's the name of the case? Come on. It's the case that the right wingers really want to overturn. They're not really after Roe versus Wade.
Exactly.
Is it the Planned Parenthood case? Is that it?
I'm trying to remember.
I put that on a brain cell that I must have killed later.
V. Connecticut, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Somebody versus Connecticut, yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay.
I'll have to look.
Yeah, and that's the one that established the right to privacy. That's where the right to privacy comes from. It doesn't come from Roe versus Wade. It comes from that case.
Oh, absolutely.
And in order to overturn Roe, they're going to have to overturn that one too. And at that point, and I don't think a lot of women in America fully grasp it. For that matter, I don't think a lot of men grasp it, because that case goes to the heart of it. That case goes to a man's right to purchase condoms as well.
Mm-hmm. That was the whole point of it. It was, you had to purchase a condom, you had to be married, you had to have children, you had to be past a certain age.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just what these people... Sometimes in my darker moments, Koss, I'm tempted to think, okay, let them have their way. Let's just see what the America they want looks like.
Oh, I don't think I want to go there.
Well, I understand, but you know, I don't think they want to go there either. That's the point.
Well,
they want to gripe and complain and piss and moan, as it were, about how bad things are. But if you actually put them in the position of having to deal with stuff, I mean, they've been in that position for the last 6 years, haven't they?
Well, the thing is, most of them are like that assistant U.S. attorney who's in jail now in Detroit. They want to tell you what to do, but by God, they don't want to do it.
No. No, I mean, and how many? I mean, you live down there fairly close to Gulf Breeze, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Gulf Breeze.
Are you seeing much coverage out there, or is it just kind of a blackout?
Nothing.
You're kidding.
No. We're not going to talk about that. Well, you got...
We don't air our dirty laundry in public.
Correct. I mean, you had a two-day wonder about the legislator paying an undercover cop $20 for a BJ because he was scared of them black folk. And then it's gone. It never happened. It's all them horrid liberal type people.
Oh, I know. Griswold versus Connecticut.
There you go, Griswold. Correct.
I'm sitting there thinking Chevy Chase versus Connecticut, Vacation versus Connecticut. and that's the sick way that my poor little brain has to work. I gotta drill down through Chevy Chase, who played a member of the Griswold family in National Lampoon's Vacation, before I can get to Griswold versus Connecticut.
Correct. That's the one.
And that's what blows my mind. And I know you've got a little bit of a legal background, or maybe a lot of a legal background, Koss.
Good bit.
Probably more than you want to think about. How is there any other explanation besides not embarrassing Slappy Thomas for turning this case down? You've got a clear conflict of laws. You've got a statute that's clearly in conflict with Griswold versus Connecticut. Moreover, you've got a statute that's in conflict with the Interstate Commerce Clause. And the Supreme Court of the United States will fairly leap out of their chairs and out of their little black robes to protect the Interstate Commerce Clause, won't they?
Well, of course, because without the abuse of the Interstate Commerce Clause, they wouldn't be able to run the drug war, for example, and have federal laws outlawing, say, California state laws about medical marijuana.
And see, the thing with them refusing cert on this Alabama case, they don't have to explain themselves. They just say, go away.
Right.
And you don't know what the vote was, and you don't know who was in favor of hearing it versus who wasn't.
No.
You know, this just astonishes me. How is this not free speech? How is this not freedom of assembly? I mean, so, well, you know what I'm getting at.
Right.
It's
that's the whole thing. They only take the cases that they want for whatever reason they want and refuse the cases that they don't want to deal with.
Principles of federalism dictate to us that we not interfere in the states' rights of Alabama to keep people from having joy buzzers.
Yep. I mean, that's how insane it is.
It's nuts. I mean, suffice to say, it's unhealthy.
Well, of course it is. But, you know,
I bet you can still buy a Klan costume in Alabama.
Oh, God, yes. Hey, the Klan is still a very social club down here.
Bet you can still buy a lawn jockey in Alabama.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you see that... You've seen that Top Gear clip of the Brits trying to drive through Alabama?
Yeah.
And you saw what happened.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's just so sad because that is my home ground. And there's so much good to recommend to Alabama, but they send these unmitigated morons to their state house.
You know.
Go ahead.
I think I have a theory.
Okay.
About what happened to the South is the vast majority of the intelligentsia of the South was wiped out during the Civil War, and the ones that remained behind to reproduce were not, and that's what's happened to it.
But even after the Civil War, so much genius came out. I mean, have you ever read the socialist writings of Helen Keller?
Oh yeah.
Well,
she was different in a lot of ways. You know,
I understand it, but it's, I mean, genius is still being produced. I mean, I can refer to my good friend Patterson Hood of the Drive-By Truckers. That guy's as sharp as a tack. Of course, he had to leave Alabama to succeed. I like to think I'm moderately intelligent. I'm not in Alabama.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. All the people who have any intelligence left usually do leave.
I guess it's a little bit like the brain drain that we've subjected Iraq to, isn't it?
Yeah. That's,
I mean, the enlightened people, and see, that's part of the problem. That's where the sectarian violence comes from, is that the enlightened people who have enough common sense to look up and say, listen, Sunni, Shia, Kurd, we're all human beings. We can build a nation. We can be happy together. We can be prosperous. And the crazy people say, nah, you got to leave or we're going to kill you. So the surgeons are gone. The doctors are gone. The scientists are gone. The philosophers are gone. Everybody's gone except the people who sit around wondering whether the Quran allows you to wear your wristwatch on your left or your right hand, and how many mullahs can dance on the head of a pin?
Exactly. Oh, something else I wanted to bring up real quick. You had Mark on Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
He made a point, but he only made part of a point, I think. He said, well, you know how it is. We Jews have a right to feel paranoid.
Yeah, and I agree.
And that's true. However,
so do the Sioux, so do the Cheyenne, so do the Cherokee.
Exactly. And you know, he was. We had a cute little exchange or part of one where he was saying, "Well, you know, give Kosovo to the Albanians. You know, the Serbs were the bad guys anyway because." I tried to point out to him, wait a minute, you have to understand, the people you want to, you know, that were your allies and your friends, the Croatians, the Bosnian Muslims, the Albanians, these people killed over a million Serbs in World War II out of a total population of just about 8 million.
Oh, yeah, the Bosnians and the Croats were on the wrong side of that little dust-up.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you think the Serbs weren't just a little bit paranoid when you had the Croatians running around and going Sieg Heil, for God's sakes, when the German troops, the peacekeeping troops, rolled in? I mean, the Germans were looking at them like, have you lost your mind?
Well, because the Serbians are historically and culturally allied to the Russians.
Yeah, and to us. I mean, in Operation Halyard during World War II, the Serbs saved over 500 downed American airmen and repatriated them back to us and lost a whole hell of a lot of Serbs in the process.
Yes.
The Ustasha, the Croatians, killed them!
Mm-hmm. Well, and I couldn't help noticing that it was a... and, you know, I hear these terrorism warnings, like what we had yesterday, that a Bosnian Muslim with a backpack that contained, what, explosives and radical Muslim materials was caught at the Vienna airport. Did you run across that one, Kost?
Oh, at the U.S. Embassy.
Oh, at the U.S. Embassy, I'm sorry.
Trying to get in, yeah.
I'm a little skeptical of that because, you know, we're constantly being terrified. So, you know, I take anything that's offered proffered by the Bush administration or, frankly, the lackey media with a grain of salt. But, you know, look, the Balkans, you know, the entire face of modern society changed in the Balkans, you know, thanks to the assassination of Franz Joseph.
Right. But do you know why he was assassinated?
Yeah, because he was a royal bastard.
Well, that and the fact that in the 1878 conference, where the Serbs have been fighting with the Turks for a long time, they had just gotten their their own independence for Serbia in 1864, and they were trying to get the Ottomans to leave, to go back. And the Austrians said, okay, in that case, we'll take Bosnia as our colony. And they're saying, no, we don't want to be a colony.
Yeah, we want to be a sovereign, free people. Sure.
Yeah, we want to join with our brothers, the Serbs. We want to be our own people. We don't want an overlord. Thank you.
And, you know, and therein lies, like I said, a lot of the history of the rising so-called modern world. The modern world was born in blood.
Yeah.
And a lot of that blood flowed right out of the Balkans.
And unfortunately, in that piece I read on my blog about Western civility, we certainly haven't demonstrated it in the last 300 years. We certainly weren't real civil to the Native Americans.
No.
When we came over here.
No, but I think the difference between that and the Holocaust is the Holocaust we saw firsthand, and we had photographs, and we had film footage, we had audio.
Right.
There's no audio of the Trail of Tears. There is only written reportage.
Right, but, I mean, you know, we actually did a much more thorough job of eradicating the Native Americans than the Germans did of eradicating European Jewry.
There's no argument. There's no argument in that.
When, you know, when Columbus landed, there were over 20 million Native Americans. By the turn of the 20th century, there were only 2 million left.
Mm-hmm.
That's over 90%, folks.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, and... Plus, we took
but we don't, but,
the country.
But we don't, you know, we don't acknowledge our own shortcomings, Cos.
No.
We look at the shortcomings of others. And also, to a certain extent, you know, there was recorded history, you know, long before we started wiping out the Native Americans, there was a long and bloody history of pogroms and suppressions centering on things like the blood libel from almost 1 A.D., well, okay, more like 500 A.D. forward.
Right. Well, you know what the significance of the year 1492 is, right?
Which significance?
Well, I mean, yeah, they discovered they discovered America, of course. But in 1492, that was also the year that the Spanish crown had the first pogrom and evicted all of their Jews.
Yes. Because Ferdinand and Isabella were also actively engaged, because they had only recently succeeded in consolidating their crown and evicting the Moors.
Correct.
And evicting...
And good Christians, yeah. Good Catholics.
Right. Well, you know, at the same time, let's remember, at the same time that the Spaniards evicted the Moors, they also evicted indoor plumbing.
Right.
Bathing. Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Anything but the most basic levels of literacy. Architecture. Mathematics. You know, set themselves back, you know, 200-300 years.
Yeah. Well, you know...
But, you know, that's...
Forget, yeah. We tend to forget, especially the... right-wing nut jobs, when they vie against everything Muslim and Arab, you know, they're useless and they're worthless and this. What do you call our number system?
Oh, sure. The Arab, yeah, Arabic numerals. Otherwise, it would, oh, my God, it would be IV minutes before VI.
There you go.
It's, you ever tried to do math with Roman numerals? Ain't easy.
It's murderous.
It's a lot easier to do it when you've got a zero like the Maya or the Arabs had.
Well, the Arabs had the numerals. The zero came from India.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, it got incorporated into the Arabic numeral system and not into the Roman numeral system.
But, I mean, you know, we forget that. We forget that it was the Arabs that developed the science of optics.
Sure.
You know.
Hey, you know, when it's a particularly rough night here, Koss, and I have to shut everything down at the end of the evening and curl up in the fetal position in the corner, and I've got a little glass of, you know, Rittenhouse rye bottled in bond, whatever, over some tinkling cubes of ice, I always lift it in toast to the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they invented distillation.
Yes.
Now, bear in mind, my people perfected it, but, you know.
Oh, God, yes.
Peat moss. It's amazing what it can do for a good for the distillation process. Hey, Koss, we got to run along, brother. It's always good talking to you.
My pleasure, sir.
We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Bye now. Our good friend, the Cossack, calling from Northwest Florida. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll come to you in due course after the news. You know the phone number, right? Sure you do. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or... 304-658-5453 on your nickel. Chime right in, join right in. Hey, we're only an hour away from a right winger. You ready? I don't even know if I am. This is the network that you build. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the college radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. And I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lines in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is the Quality News Network. The head of private security company Blackwater defended his staff before House Oversight and Government Reform Committee today. His testimony comes as part of the government's investigation into a deadly shootout last month in Iraq involving his staff. 11 Iraqis were killed. Washington lawmakers consider a bill that would require President Bush to show a concrete plan for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows only about 25% of Americans support the administration's $190 billion war funding request. 70% say the amount should be less. Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Britain is visiting Iraq for the first time. He's meeting with authorities to discuss a drawdown of Britain's 5,000 troops in Iraq's southern province of Basra. The drawdown would have 1,000 of them home by Christmas. A UN report finds that attacks in Afghanistan have risen by 20% to the highest level since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion. For only the second time in 50 years, the leaders of South and North Korea met today for peace talks. At the top of their agenda, Pyongyang's dismantlement of its nuclear weaponry program. The United Nations envoy has left Myanmar after finally being allowed to meet with junta leader Senior General Than Shwe. No progress was reported in swaying the regime from a brutal government crackdown on a pro-democracy movement. In Canada, a federal judge acquitted three doctors, a Red Cross official, and a U.S. drug maker of criminally infecting Canadians with AIDS and hepatitis C contaminated blood. More than 3,000 Canadians died in the 1980s and 90s from the tainted blood. In Islamabad, opposition lawmakers resigned today. They're protesting the candidacy of Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. In the trial of seven men who allegedly plotted to bomb landmark buildings in the U.S., including the Sears Tower in Chicago, got underway in Miami today. The prosecution says the men were trying to bring down the U.S. government. They face up to 70 years in prison if convicted. And in Minnesota, opening arguments began today in the first trial of a consumer accused of copyright violation for illegally sharing songs on a file-sharing network. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
According to a report by the Associated Press, laboratory accidents involving deadly viruses, poisonous chemicals, and contaminated animals are on the rise. The number of laboratories approved to handle deadly substances has also doubled in the last 3 years. Nokia will pay $8.1 billion to acquire digital map maker Navtech. Navtech's maps are used primarily in automobile navigation systems. eBay announced it will take a $1.43 billion charge as a result of its acquisition of internet phone company Skype. In addition, Skype's CEO will leave his active position. Sales of Fords have dropped 21% in September, while Toyota and Chrysler posted smaller drops and GM held steady. Honda, on the other hand, sales have increased more than 9% and Nissan gained 7%. Gold is trading at $736.30 an ounce. That's down $17.80. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.05 a barrel. The Dow closed down 40 points at 14,047. The Nasdaq was up 6 points, and the S&P 500 was even. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeedy. And we will do phones here for a while if you want. We'll go right to the phones here in a sec. I want to update you just because I feel like you, well, dadgummit, you're deserving of the information. So, you know, I'll go ahead and do that. I mentioned what our fundraising status was last night at the somewhere along the way in the program and told you, well, okay, so here's the skinny. As of last night, after the program, we rose to, you know, it was a nice first day of the month, $250. $250 toward keeping us on the air for November. And that's wonderful. You know, that's actually 1/8 of the way. So if we could do that 7 more times, have 7 more $250 days, I can shut up and tell you that we've made the hump. So thank you to those of you who jumped in right away to make sure that this continues through November. Bless you. To the phones we go. Juanita has been patiently waiting, and I appreciate your patience, Juanita. Thank you very kindly. How are you this evening? Juanita? Oh, yeah. There you are. Hello, Juanita. Juanita. Oh, doggone it. Juanita, are you there? Juanita. Okay, Juanita, you got to turn your radio, your computer speakers
on. Hello?
Yeah, there you are, Juanita.
Hello?
Hello?
Were you talking to me?
I was.
I can't. You're way off.
Well, you've got your speakers on in the background there, and that's probably making part of the problem.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. How are you?
I don't know. Kind of whimsical, I guess.
Well, good, good. What's on your mind?
Now I can hear better.
Okay, great.
Yeah, a little better. I wanted to ask you a question, something about something that's been puzzling me, but before I do, I wanted to say that I believe it was last week or week before last, I got a rerun of you,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about Kurt Vonnegut. Is that the way to pronounce his name?
Sure, Kurt Vonnegut.
And that was so good.
Well,
I
thank
just
you.
Thoroughly enjoyed that, listening to you talk about him and present some of his, some excerpts and all like that, and just really opened my eyes about the guy. And I always liked him. I always liked him on TV and everything. But it was really good. I really loved that.
Well, you know, every now and then you run across somebody who changes your world. And for me, Kurt Vonnegut was one of those people.
He sure is. And I just wanted to thank you for that. I just accidentally caught it. The question I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, is about these hearings that we've been having. For instance, when they had General Petraeus on.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I barely can hear you. Anyway, they had the hearing, and they had, of course, the Code Pink people out there and all the different ones watching. And when they went to ask him questions, that it's have him to swear in. And some of them got up and said, you know, you need to swear him in. And he had all of them arrested. And he was a Democrat.
That's true.
And then I saw, bless his heart, Senator Byrd was having a hearing, and the people were saying stuff, you know, and they really got upset when the Pace guy, you know, he's retiring, I guess, General Pace.
Well, he's not being retired so much as he's being cashiered. The Bush administration refused to renominate him after he started evincing some misgivings about the Iraq War.
Okay, I'm not really understanding you, but anyway, the Berg, you know, was the head of it, and he got really upset with the crowd because Harkin was asking about what he had said about gays in the military, and so he had them all thrown out. But I was wondering, should that be I mean, I don't think they were disturbing anything that much. They were, you know, am I right or wrong?
No, well, Juanita, and I hope you can hear me.
I hear you now.
Okay. Part of the problem there was that Senator Byrd fueled the fire, because on the one hand, he'd sit there and he'd go into his sort of call and response old time gospel hour act and work the crowd, and he had the crowd on his side. Well, then the crowd felt like they'd been empowered. The anti-war protesters felt like they had been empowered to share their thoughts. And then when it began to get out of his control, he turned on them.
Yeah. Well, I felt like that it was his condition too. You know, you can tell he's gone way downhill.
Oh, sure he has, and especially since it's kind of tragic. It is tragic,
his
not kind of.
Died and
after Irma passed away, she really was his anchor in the world.
But he didn't have him arrested, but he did have him cleared. You know,
right?
They did that. But the other guy had him arrested. And
well,
you know, that's when that preacher, I think, was hurt.
Right. Yeah. Well, and he didn't even get into the room.
No, he got his leg. I don't see where he did anything except say something.
No, you can watch the video. He did nothing.
Uh huh.
And he was tackled by six Capitol police. They broke his leg in the process for literally doing nothing.
Right.
You know, the other side of that, you asked about putting people under oath. I guess I'm old school or old fashioned or anything, but any time that you're giving testimony, it would seem to me natural that you would, as a matter of course, ask the person to swear to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Or affirm to tell the truth. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just promise that they're not going to sit there and lie.
Right.
Because as it turns out, you know, from the information that we've now got, it's apparent that General Petraeus did sit there and lie like a rug.
Uh-huh.
He lied to the Congress.
Yeah.
Because
and
the information
that must have known he was going to.
Well, he's come out now. And he said, "Well, you know, I misunderestimated the violence estimates for Iraq, and it wasn't exactly like what I said." Well, that's called lying.
Well, that sounds a little Gonzalo-esque or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's what it is par for the course for anyone associated with this administration.
Oh, you can't believe a thing they say, not anything.
No, we've got a saying here in the hills: the truth ain't in them.
That's, you got that right. But and then I have heard some people saying, you know, that the continual ignoring of the protest by our side, you know, anyone on our side. People are getting fed up with it, and they're wondering if they shouldn't be civil disobedience on our side. What do you think?
I think we're moving. I mean, there's been a lot of civil disobedience already. Cindy Sheehan, people like Jim Wallace from Sojourners, willing to be arrested to express their opinion, and I think that's gonna continue if we don't just fatigue on it.
I don't know about that one. Could you fill me in?
Well, I mean, the Jim Wallace and Cindy Sheehan and others have been arrested dozens of times.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, he was arrested that day too at Petraeus hearing.
Probably. Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't read it.
Yeah,
but
he was.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
But you know, something's got to give. This is just getting ridiculous.
Well, it is. And, you know, there's polling data out.
Not ridiculous. It's really tragic.
Well, any word you choose to use. There's polling data out now that suggests that the American people are well and truly fed up with what's going on. And, in fact, a majority of Americans are now saying that they want the war funding cut. That's news as of today. A majority of Americans oppose giving George Bush the $190 billion that he wants to continue killing Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure he wants it for that.
Well, it is. Well, you know, it's so ironic. He can't fully fund the state children's health insurance program But on the other hand, he wants $190 billion to keep blowing the living bejesus out of Iraqis and Afghanis.
And they're also he's also wanting to get the veterans who are not service connected get their VA benefits taken away or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's I saw I think it was about the Petraeus hearing and on Larry King show. This is 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some soldiers on there that was some of our troops that were veterans against the war.
Right.
And there was this one guy, bless his heart, he got on there. It was one of those programs on CNN. It may not have been Larry King, but anyway, he got on there and he just said, well, we got this guy in the White House. This is my way I say it. I can't say his exact words, but they were so great. He said, we got this guy in the White House that he was a deserter. I mean, he just went right through it about how he deserted his place, and that went all over the world. And, you know, that's not usually allowed on the news of any kind, but that went all over the world.
We need a lot more of it to go
so
all over the world.
Him. But I tell you, that kid, that young soldier, you could tell he's serious. And, you know, they know how to get around things. That's what they were taught, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated.
It is frustrating, Juanita. It's nothing but frustrating. It's heartbreaking.
It is. And then this thing about Move On. They had these people on. They started from the beginning of it. The day it came out, they had these little pug nose. That's an insult to anybody that was pug-nosed. But anyway, these jerks from different that was in the House of Representatives, how dare they? And they act so condescending about it. And then first news you know, here the Senate votes to, what is it? What did they
vote for? Voted to condemn the Move On ad. Oh, my. Yeah. Look, Juanita, the Congress has no business in any of these debates. I said that last night as well. They have no business debating whether or not Rush Limbaugh is a jerk. That's something for the court of public opinion.
The one thing, though, about him, he doesn't need to be in broadcasting to our troops.
No, he doesn't. And he doesn't, and, you know, that takes taxpayer dollars to do that.
Yes. That's one thing that they could bring up.
It is indeed. Juanita, it's very good to hear from you.
You too.
You ring in.
I believe that he's really brought a lot of the hate out in this country, and he's been doing it for so long. It's so embedded.
Yeah, 25 years worth of hate and vitriol. Yes. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yes, it is.
No, but that's why the horn exists, is to try to remedy some of that.
Yes.
Well, Juanita, you take care, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, take care now.
You take care, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My good friend Juanita, we're batting a million for Florida, and batting 600 for Florida and 300 for California so far tonight. Let's see who we've got this time through. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. This is Gerard from Indiana.
Hey, Gerard, how are you? Haven't heard from you in a while. You doing all right?
I'm doing good. I just had a couple of things tonight. First of all, I don't want you ever to apologize for being, a little... shall we say, overboard on accuracy and language?
Okay, good. I'm glad you've got my back. Sometimes there's a little list of words that just goes through me.
Well, you know, it's we got to have a lot of people like that around, because otherwise you get to a point where you're calling mercenaries contractors. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that the truth?
And... So, you know, that's really all I wanted to say about that. I mean, and we've got things happening like Frank Luntz hosting presidential candidate debates. You know, it's just, sometimes you just got to stand up and say, hey, this is the way it is. And this is the way, you know, language means something.
Well, you know, it was the Republicans who gave us that well-worn phrase now, Gerard.
Yeah.
Words mean things.
Yeah.
And if they meant something when they were attacking Bill Clinton, surely to God they still mean something now.
Yeah, they sure do. And speaking of words, listeners hear something that I was. It's kind of a personal story, but I think it applies to what's going on with the Bush administration. And maybe there are others out there who know about this and work this too, but maybe I'm just waking up to it. But recently, I work for a big box retailer in the Midwest here, and we're in five states, and I'm in a first level management position, and they recently restructured their management structure. And what happened was I went from being just overnight from being a salaried management person to a management person who punches a clock. And because my status was changed, it also meant that there was a change or at least a restructure in my health benefits. Now, when they do that, they send out to you this booklet. It's probably 20 or 30 pages long here, about, you know, the specifics of your health plan and what, you know, your rights and all that is. And I was hoping maybe to catch Agnes tonight because she might, I know she has a medical background, and she probably has some experience in this, but, you know, I'm just geeky enough to read this whole thing to find out what's in it, since it is about my health plan.
Sure.
And I read it, and there was something in here that caught my eye immediately because I had never seen this before in other health plans that I had. And I'd like to just read it. It's just a paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're talking about what's known as the HEPA laws, what they can disclose your personal health information to.
Right.
And they have a section here, and there's a bullet point. There's about six bullet points here, but the heading on the section goes, "We are permitted to use or disclose PHI, personal health information, about you for the following purposes." And one of them is protective services for the president and others. We may disclose PHI about you to authorized federal officials so they may provide protection to the president, other authorized persons, or foreign heads of state, or conduct special investigations. So I'm reading this, and I had never noticed that particular clause in health benefit packages that I had before. And I'm having this kind of I'd call it an Andy Rooney moment, you know. And I'm thinking, why would the president need to know my health information for his own protection? And if he needs to know my personal health information for his...
Well, I can tell you how that works, if you want.
Sure.
You write a letter to George Bush, and you say, "Dear George, I hope you get hit by a truck." the Johnny-on-the-spot Secret Service will then invoke the HEPA law, because that law has nothing to do with your privacy and everything to do with invading it. And they will then scrutinize your medical and employment records to find out if, A, you drive a truck, or, B, you've ever sought treatment for any form of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, they will make a determination as to whether or not you are a threat to the president. The one that scares the life out of me, though, Gerard, is that catch-all at the bottom of what you read, you know, to protect the president, foreign heads of state, yada, 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 or for any national security purpose?
It says, or conduct special investigations.
Okay, special investigations, right. You could drive a truck sideways through that garbage.
Yeah, easily.
You know, anything is a special investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say you write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper, and you sound a little bit, you know, malcontent.
Yeah, strident.
Well, you know, the FBI, and they've proven it, the Gonzalez lied about it to the Congress under oath, but then it came out that, in fact, the FBI had misused national security letters, which is what they would turn around and use in order to get at the information that they're talking about in that clause, for improper purposes. Maybe to quell dissent. Or maybe just to send you a message that, you know, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
You have a you're not being paranoid. You're not
tasing me, huh?
I beg your pardon?
As opposed to tasing me.
Well, yeah, don't tase me, bro. But yeah, you have a you're not being paranoid. There's nothing goofy about being afraid of that particular situation. That is creepy. That's the police state hard at work. It reminds me to a certain extent, or to one degree or another, although it's not the same thing, of the fact that it's inside No Child Left Behind that they've hidden the fact that every parent in the United States has to affirmatively opt out of having their kid hustled by military recruiters. You don't opt in and tell the military they can recruit your kid in high school. You have to opt out of that. That's not inside the Patriot Act. That's not inside of any sort of military defense spending bill or defense appropriations or authorization bill. That's tucked away inside of No Child's Behind Left. And it's creepy because I would warrant that 99% of American parents out there, Gerard, who are spending day in and day out just trying to keep food on their families, they don't know it's there. So they send little Sunshine, who's a high school sophomore or junior, off to high school every day, unwittingly subjecting them to being hustled by the military to go and get thrust into the meat grinder in Iraq.
Well, and that's the thing, too, and you're talking about language and knowing, you're talking about knowing what's in the law, what's actually in the law. And, you know, I'm kind of jokingly mentioning the student at the University of Florida, but the thing, for me, the background thing on that was so astounding in watching that video is all those students who are sitting there and are not aware of the fact that this person's rights are being violated.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not... as part of the dumbing down of America, they are not aware that there's anything out of kilter with the way that those police behave.
Well, let's take a college freshman who might have been in that room, Gerard. 18 years old, because this is the first semester. 18 years old, so that means they have not known anything but the Bush police state since roughly the time that they became self-aware at around age 11 or 12.
Yeah.
That's a sobering thought. The reason they reacted the way they did is because that's the America that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been actively taught the Constitution. They haven't been taught civics. They haven't been taught the Bill of Rights. And every time they thought about raising it, they see it getting stricken down, in, if they're politically aware, in something like the Bong Hits for Jesus case.
Right.
So, you know, there's a reason that they just stood there. That's what happens in America. People get tasered for saying the wrong thing in America. That's all they know.
Yeah.
You know, they were born, what? They were born the year of Rodney King.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, maybe they were toddlers when Rodney King went down. That is the America that they live in. You know, and it's, you know, it's understandable because I guess part of the reason I am the way I am, I'm certainly not a member of the generations who could sit in or participate in the Summer of Love or anything. I'm 44 years old. But I was a child, and I was getting images into my brain or sounds or words at a time in America when dissent flourished.
Yeah, well, I'm slightly older than you, but it's you know, and that's the thing to me when I see these things happening, I think right away. I mean, the images come right away of
of the 68 Democratic Convention in Chicago, of Kent State, of, you know, all those things that happened back then.
And and somebody who was born in 1970, they were toddlers when Watergate was happening. You can't blame them for not knowing, but you can wish to God that there was some way of helping them know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's kind of like what I said with Juanita. It's part of the reason this exists. You know, every now and then I'll get a call from a 20-something, or, you know, we've got a couple of teenage listeners that it just thrills me to know that they're out there, because it means to me that, you know, if we can only plant one seed, if we can only plant two seeds, if we can only get two, you know, if we can only get four seeds in the ground, then maybe the Constitution has hope.
Yeah.
But right now it's pretty doggone grim, isn't it?
Yeah, seems that way. But I was listening to, actually, the rerun of, I guess it was yesterday's program, and you were talking to Phil from Florida?
Yes.
Daytona. And, you know, I think he's spot on. I mean, we just, same old thing that's been going on for the last 6 years, we just got to get out there and change it, you know. I'm a person, I'm doing what I can, like everybody else, to you know, keep the food on the table, keep the lights on. But it's going to take a lot more than that, if we're going to see this country change direction in any way.
Well, I love the passion that Phil brings to what he does, because he's out there trying to, and again, he makes a point of always saying, you know, you're not going to go broke doing this. It doesn't cost you anything to speak up. It doesn't cost you anything to exercise your right to free speech. It doesn't cost you anything to talk to your neighbor in line at the grocery store or the post office or the gas station or the Jiffy Lube or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And it only really takes a word, like he was saying. It only really takes a word. And you might not know. You're having a conversation with a person at the gas station or the grocery store. You, in all likelihood, will probably not see the result of your speaking up and just saying something. You know, you probably, in all likelihood, may not convince them. But the next thing they hear, you know, the next image they see, you know, if they see a kid being tasered at the University of Florida, maybe some of this will, you know, maybe some of this will sink in.
It's seed work. It's seed work. It's seed planting. I don't have to win the argument. It doesn't have to be a confrontation. I'm reminded of the conversation that I had while I was down in Alabama. Like I said, I'm raised there. You know, Friday night is when you go to the football game. You go to church on Sunday, but high school football on Friday night. It's, you know, all part of the same catechism. And I had a conversation with a guy in a booster shirt afterward, and we had a great conversation and just talking about Rush. And I told him I mentioned the Barack the Magic Negro song, and the guy's clearly, you know, he's clearly a conservative man. There's not a lot of bleeding heart liberals in Alabama. There just aren't. I don't know why, but there aren't. And he volunteers to me, and he says, you know, I used to listen to him until the Donovan McNabb stupidity, and then I realized he was an idiot. And so, you know, I gave him a little bit more to go on, and mentioned a couple of other right wing talkers that I know are on the radio in that area. And I didn't need him, you know, running out the door to go register to vote as a Democrat or sign on to the Kucinich campaign.
Right.
It's a little bit much to expect.
Right. Yeah.
But I gave him something to think about the next time he punches the button on his radio and he hears that life support system for a haircut Hannity prattling away. And he'll know that he's being lied to. He'll know somewhere or another that he's being sold a bill of goods, Gerard.
Yeah. Well, I'm encouraged, too. I know that with my kids too, that my oldest children are just getting into their 30s and sitting around at different gatherings with their friends at their house, and they you know, they're more aware than I give them credit for, and they see these things happening, and some of them, you know, some of them have differing opinions, but, you know, just to keep on talking and just keep those lines of communication open, I think does a world of good, and, you know, gets them to the point where they realize that there is something more than playing video games and professional sports and all the things that are used to distract the general population from what's really going on.
Well, right. As long as, I mean, you know, God forbid, I don't have anything against anybody watching a football game. I wasn't on the air Friday night, and as a consequence of that, I sat and watched my beloved Mountaineers flush their football season down the toilet. But then again, I shouldn't, you know, I should probably not complain to you. It's a tough year to live in South Bend, my friend. But you know, I don't begrudge anybody any of that. I don't begrudge anybody any entertainment. But it's the line. There's a line that needs to be established or drawn somewhere between reality and that.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's just, you know, what is entertainment and what is,
well, you know,
it's really going to vastly affect your life for generations to come.
I clicked on my happy little homepage button, and it just, you know, I've never changed it. It just goes to some site, and bang, there it is. What's the lead story? Woman killed in Phoenix in handcuffs? No, that wasn't the lead story. The slaughter in Burma? No, sorry, that wasn't the lead story either. The lead story, Britney loses custody. And you know, I know that Dave Letterman was a little bit harsh on Paris Hilton the other night on his show. And whether that was right or wrong, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, where do we get the idea, Gerard, that these people are any more real than a guy who actually, or woman who goes out and earns a living? You can't look at what Britney Spears did at the Video Music Awards and call that earning a living.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the cultural issue. Is somehow or another figuring out what does and does not matter. OJ doesn't matter. Britney doesn't matter. Lindsay Lohan doesn't matter. But I guess, you know, some of it ties in. Who was it? Who was the...